verses 37 through 34. You can find that scripture reading on the back of the insert in your bulletins. On one side of that insert is the outline of this morning's sermon, and on the opposite side is our scripture reading from Luke 11. But I also want to read at this time some background to this passage in Luke 11 by first reading some verses from Luke chapter 7 that I'll be referring to in the sermon, and then we'll read Luke 11, 37 to 44. So we're going to begin this morning by reading from Luke 7, the verses 36 through 50, and then Luke 11, 37 to 44. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And then from Luke chapter 11, and I'll be reading the verses 37 through 44. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and out of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe, you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." Thus the reading of God's word from Luke chapter 7 and Luke chapter 11. I will be referring as well to that passage from Mark 7 as well during the sermon. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, we start out this morning with an invitation in Luke chapter 11, verse 37. Jesus is given an invitation by a Pharisee to dine at his house, and we're told that Jesus goes into the Pharisee's house and reclines and dines with him. This is not the first time in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus has been invited in to a Pharisee's house to dine at his home. He did so as well in chapter 11, as we read a moment ago, at the home of Simon the Pharisee. At that time, Jesus was invited into Simon's house, and while sitting there, a woman of the city, a known sinner of the city, enters into the home and pours a flask of ointment on his feet, and along with her tears, she wipes them all up with the hair of her head. And while Simon the Pharisee was thinking to himself, if Jesus would know what sort of woman this was, this known sinner who is touching him, he would not let her touch him like that. Jesus then tells Simon the parable of the two debtors. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and another 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Which one, Simon, will love him more? And Simon the Pharisee answered, the one, I suppose, for which he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus said to Simon, you have judged rightly. And then he points out to Simon and all the Pharisees what is wrong with the Pharisees. The woman who poured out ointment with tears and dried it with her hair, she was like a sinner. And nothing she could do as a known sinner of the city, she knew her life was a total sinful mess. Nothing she could do in herself could help her for salvation. Nothing that she could do in her worst could somehow be credited for her salvation. She understood that. She knew that. When she came to Jesus, she showed her love for Jesus that was within her heart because she knew the great debt that Jesus would pay for her. Her actions flowed out of a heart that loved him. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. But when Jesus spoke to Simon and went into his house for dinner, there was no ointment from Simon. There was no kiss from Simon. Because Simon the Pharisee, in his own mind, had been keeping the law. He doesn't understand the great debt that Jesus must pay for him because he thinks he is doing things that lessens that debt. He doesn't, as a Pharisee, understand God's grace. And because he is a Pharisee in his heart and in his actions, they show they do not love Jesus. But in Luke chapter 11, like in Luke 7, Jesus now is again invited in to a Pharisee's house. And as he reclines and sits down at the table again in chapter 11, the Pharisee, we're told, is objecting to what Jesus does not do. We're told in that verse, he is astonished that Jesus does not wash before dinner. Now we know from the Old Testament that this Pharisee was astonished about something that is not required in the Old Testament law. While it doesn't say it here in Luke chapter 11, we're told this in Mark chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Those verses I put on the back of your outline. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. You see, what the Pharisee is astonished about, what Jesus does not do, is not about Jesus not keeping the law. He is astonished because Jesus is not keeping a Pharisaic tradition. Just like Simon the Pharisee, who saw the sinful woman touching Jesus and saying, well, that's going to make you, Jesus, unclean. So now the Pharisee, who sees that Jesus does not wash his hands before dinner, is going to eat with unwashed hands and be unclean. And so Jesus answers with a response describing again what is wrong with the Pharisees. He describes what's wrong with their inner and outer disposition. The outer disposition of the Pharisee is what Jesus describes in verse 39. And the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of a cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You see, Jesus is describing the Pharisees like the washing of a cup or the washing of a dish, that it looks clean on the outside and they're so careful in the way that they do the washing and everything that takes place on the outside. But what Jesus said is wrong on the inside. Inside, you are full of greed and wickedness. In verse 40, he describes them as fools. Did not he, that's God, who made the outside, make the inside also? God made you a whole person inside and out. And what is on the inside is reflected in the outside. And you can't change the outside without first changing the inside. And so Jesus tells him in verse 41, but give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. You see, Jesus is telling the Pharisee, you don't just do outward things like ceremonial washings or the giving of alms, but if you are one who is giving of alms, or as some translations translate that word, the giving to charity, doing things on behalf of God, this must be an expression, Jesus said, of the love and affection for God and for Christ that comes out of one's heart. Instead of greed and wickedness on the heart, which leads to greed and wicked actions, they need love for God and love for Christ, God's Son. And everything that you do for the Lord, including the giving of alms, must flow from that. What you do for the Lord flows out of the changed heart of a person. The outer disposition, like the woman who poured out the perfume and the ointment, the woman who dried up the ointment and the tears with her hair. What she does is not a something from the outside that'll change the inside. She does this because of what has happened inside her heart and the love she has for God and for Christ. The outer disposition, Jesus says, flows from the inner disposition. You should be for the Lord inside and out. Jesus said, your whole life, the end of verse 41, everything is clean for you. So the Lord has answered this Pharisee and the Pharisee's objection to him about his washing of his hands. But he doesn't stop with just this one explanation. He goes on to give three examples. In fact, these three examples are given in such a form that Jesus tells us they are woes. Three woes, three example woes about what's wrong with the Pharisees. Jesus, you see, in the first woe, tells the Pharisee in verse 42, woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect the justice and the love of God. What does that mean? It means that according to the Old Testament law, God commanded his people to give 10% of their income, of their crops, the first fruit of their crops to the Lord. But when it came to the Pharisees, according to their traditions, they even go beyond what God had prescribed in the law. Not only are they giving the first fruits of their main crops to the Lord, which is worth something, they even go so far to give 10% of crops that are insignificant. They're giving 10% of what is plentiful, their mint, their rue, and every herb from their garden. Not just the main crops, the main source of their income and living are they giving, but they're going to go far beyond to go out their garden and give every possible plant and herb that they could possibly have in their possession and give 10% of that too, going beyond the law. So that others will look to them and say, you see how godly he is? Not only does he give the main first fruits of his crop, but he even goes beyond giving everything from his herb garden and growing. You see, in keeping all these outward acts, though, Jesus tells us at the end of that sentence what they are neglecting. They are neglecting, the end of verse 42, the first sentence, the justice and the love of God. The love of God that should be flowing from their hearts. Instead, they're focused on all the details about what they're doing outwardly. They are majoring in minor outward things and they neglect what should have been the major thing. The justice and the love of God. What is God's justice? God's justice for a person and for others is not from the law, but to find it in Jesus Christ. To know that you're a sinner, to know that you need the righteousness of God in your heart, that you can only have that righteousness not from your outward actions, but from God's Son, Jesus Christ, who has been perfectly righteous, and that righteousness is then given to you. To know that if you want to be right with God, it's not about yourself and what you do, but it comes from Him by His grace, and what is given you is what God has done for you, working in your heart to know Him and to love Him. And Jesus said to the Pharisee, you majored in minors, you left out the majors, and these things, he said at the end of this verse, you ought to have done without neglecting the others. And what has it led to? What is this majoring in minors and neglecting the majors led to for the Pharisees? We see it in the second woe in verse 43. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. You see, the lack of love for God and all their outward doing has only led to a love for themselves. They're supposed to be the religious leaders of God's people in order to help God's people to know Him. But instead, they love to be in the best seats of the synagogue, to give greetings to all the important people in the marketplaces, to be one of those who stands out in their godliness and their outward actions to show the world how godly and sincerely they are serving the Lord. They want others to know that they are more godly. They want others to know that they are wholly better in their outward acts. They've gone beyond the law of God and what God requires. And because they love themselves so much, they drive out any love for God. You see, you can't love God and you can't love others if the goal is all about yourself. Don't you see what's happened here? The Pharisees are supposed to be the religious leaders of the people. And as the religious leaders of the people, they're supposed to love God and demonstrate and direct people so that they will know God's love to them. But that's not what they're about at all. They're about bringing praise to themselves. They're about their own godliness. They're about praise to themselves from others for their own godliness. They're like the church leader who wants to count up how many members they have so that others will praise them for their ministry method, so that other people from other churches will praise them for what they have done and what they have accomplished. But Jesus goes on with a third woe for the Pharisees. And this third woe is the strongest of them all. In the third woe, verse 44, Jesus again states, "Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." Jesus tells them that they are like unmarked graves. It was clear in the Old Testament law that if you touched a grave or stepped on a grave, an unmarked grave, you would be declared unclean. And because you were unclean, there was a period of time described in the law, having touched that grave, that you would be outside of being able to go to the temple until you went through the process of cleansing prescribed in the Old Testament law and led to you by the priest. They were so serious about unmarked graves that they were known to search for them and carefully mark them so that no one would accidentally step on one in case that grave was not in a marked graveyard. But now Jesus is saying of the Pharisees, they are like an unmarked grave. That the Pharisaic system, which they are following and directing the people to follow, by which they have added to the law their extra requirements and what they think they are doing to merit themselves before God as more godly than others, they are actually helping someone not to be made clean, but to be made unclean. It's like stepping on an unmarked grave to go to a Pharisee for spiritual help. The one who claims to be godly, the one who stands up in the synagogues and the marketplace and wants others to look to him and say, "This is the way it's done," brings the opposite before God, making them unclean. But you see, it's more than just that, what Jesus tells us in this third woe. In this third woe, Jesus is letting them know that not only is it like touching an unmarked tomb that makes a person unclean, but the Pharisaic religious system, which emphasizes the outward works of a person and by following traditions that goes even beyond the law, that emphasizes the individual and their law and tradition keeping, is like a dead tomb. There's no life-giving power in that system. No love for God. No love for Jesus Christ. And that system, which is full of the outward and not the inward work of the heart, offers no life before God. Think again of the woman who went into Simon the Pharisee's house in chapter 7. She was a woman of the city and a known sinner. And when she went into the house and expressed her love for Jesus with her ointment, her tears, and her hair, Simon the Pharisee could only think to himself, "She is a sinner, an unclean woman. She is touching Jesus and she's going to make Jesus unclean." The Pharisees and their system has no power to give her life. They can tell her how to wash our hands before meals, how to wash the dishes and follow a careful system to wash them and make sure they're clean. They can tell her about how they need to go beyond in your giving. Don't only just give a portion of your income, the 10%, but even go beyond to the herbs in your garden outside to emphasize her to do an insignificant thing so that she'll think it's somehow giving her more godliness before God. They tell her to major in minors to be right before God. They will focus on the outward, but not the inward, and she will never be as outwardly godly as they, because she knows she's a sinner, because they don't think they're so bad, and she will always be looked down upon by them for her sin. But when this woman came to Jesus, she knew that her righteousness would never do. She needed Jesus to forgive her sin and to give her the righteousness of God. And that comes to her, Jesus said in Luke 7, because she loved Jesus from her heart much. And because she loves Jesus from her heart much, she receives the life-giving power of Christ, the power of his empty tomb, the power of the resurrection from the dead, and the forgiveness of her sins. This Pharisee has the Son of God sitting right in front of him, dining at his table in the house, and he judges Jesus as if Jesus is unrighteous, because he doesn't wash his hands following the Pharisaic tradition before the meal. Their outward religious system will have no impact on the world around them, on the living world. Their good works they do are only for themselves. No one outside of them benefits. The works they do are to congratulate themselves in the synagogue and in the marketplaces, to make themselves feel good, to make themselves in front of others look like they are more godly, and crediting themselves in their hearts for what they do. This same principle that Jesus pointed out to the Pharisees still holds true today. The key issue of the Reformation was to emphasize justification by faith and in Christ alone, to reform the church of all the extra meritorious works that the Catholic Church was requiring the people to do. They were told that if you did all these works, you were made to feel like you were making yourself more godly and more right before God, whether it was the giving of indulgences and the purchasing of those, the praying to the rosary, the going to the confession booth to confess your sin to a priest, participating in the Mass. Merits were pronounced to you from a man in a robe. At a recent Bible study here at Sovereign Grace, we got into a discussion about a trend today of even some Reformed people returning to Catholicism. And in the discussion, one of the things that we understood together is that religious works often return because they're easier and they make people feel better about themselves. But keep in mind these three woes that Jesus said to the Pharisees. There is no saving power in the outward doing of things, not in the majoring in minors. That kind of focus will not lead to love for God, but only love for yourself. That system which focuses on what you do, Jesus said, is like a dead tomb that gives no life. Life and forgiveness and salvation is only found in what Jesus did. It starts on what Jesus has done in the inside of your heart. His justice, His forgiveness, His grace, His righteousness has come to you, and love for Him flows out of a changed heart, inside and out. Jesus told us that when the woman poured out perfume, it was not about herself, but she poured it out on His feet and mixed with her tears on His feet, dried it with her hair, and kissed His feet, because Jesus said she loved much. She didn't do it as an outward thing so that she would look more godly than others. The Lord didn't tell us that in Luke 7 so that we would think, well, if we do that too, that shows the outwardness of our heart. Jesus explained what it was. Her heart loved Christ, and her actions showed and demonstrated that love. She knew, as a woman of the city and a great sinner, that she needed grace and forgiveness, and her righteousness and efforts would never do. She went to Him because she knew that Jesus alone could pay it all. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You today for this scripture passage that puts before us what's wrong with the Pharisees. But Lord, as we look at this Pharisee and his line of thinking, we see it and hear it around us as well. Father, we pray that You would help us as we reflect on our own hearts, that as we look at that heart, it may be a heart that understands Christ, that sees the need for the righteousness of Christ, because we're sinners and can never do anything worthy before God of righteousness before Him. May we understand that our Savior alone can pay for our sins. Nothing we do can be credited for that. May we see and understand that grace that has flowed to us so that our heart is passionately in love with Him, because we have no hope without Him. May we identify with His tomb, an empty tomb of life, because our sins are washed away. May we look to Him who is resurrected on high and seated at the right hand of God. May that be where our hearts and focus are as well. Help us, O God, that as we live for You, that as we demonstrate our love for You, it would all be done out of the heart. A heart that loves Christ, that's expressed in our outward actions amongst one another, and most importantly, before You. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.